Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being the one that meets us here and makes things known. Lord, even though you hide things with your words, by your Spirit, you open them up to us. Open those things up to us now that we may believe and live. In your name, amen. All right, so moments change, right? One moment to the next. One moment you're at the beginning of a gathering here. The next moment you're at the end, right? Or maybe the next moment you're stuck in a pastor sermon, right? One moment you're living in Clinton Township, and by the end of the next day, you're living in Livonia, right? One moment you're single, the next moment you're engaged. One moment you feel like you have things together. You are in control of your emotions, of time, of relationships. But the next moment, you feel like you're the one being controlled by your emotions, by someone else, by time, where things are being dictated to you instead of you being the one doing the dictating. And so that reinforces, I think, something that comes to us from the text today, that the things that we possess, this kind of came through on our move, right? When you take stock of everything that you own and try to move it somewhere, this is the first time that we've rented a 26-foot truck and we couldn't do it all in one move. Right? Sometimes these things happen, though. But the truth, both in Scripture and in a move, is sometimes the things that you possess end up possessing you. Right? The things you possess end up possessing you. Moments can change. Moments sometimes can change everything. And the point, the very center point of what we read today from Matthew 13 is that God treasures you. Do you believe that? God treasures you. All right. So as you think of those moments where everything changed, were they good changes or bad changes? Or a mix of both? Right? Remember toward the beginning, I asked you to think of, you know, where's a moment there everything changed for you? Were those good changes or bad changes? Was it a good moment or a bad moment? Because moment to moment, as things change, some moments you aren't going to feel treasured. Instead, you actually may end up feeling sidelined or marginalized, overlooked, abandoned, threatened, ignored, unimportant, alone, dangerously vulnerable. But in the text today, to his disciples and to you, God says, and I'll say it again, because I'll keep saying it, not only because I wrote it, but God treasures you. And there are three aspects of that I want to focus on in our time today. The three aspects are sacrifice, momentary promises, and lasting choices. Sacrifice, momentary promises, and lasting choices. So as we talk about sacrifice in light of what we've read, right, there's one that seeks you. He gave up, he sacrificed everything, just like the central figure in each of those parables, right? In the parable of the treasure hidden in the field, and in the parable of the fine pearl merchant, right? In both cases, they found something exceptional. In the field, it was a treasure. In the market, it was a pearl that was substantial. It was a pearl that was better than anything this guy had ever seen. And this guy knows pearls. He's a fine pearl merchant. He knows what he's looking for. So when he finds something that's that extraordinary, nothing else matters. He gives up everything to own that pearl. Just like the man in the field who found this exceptional treasure in the midst of a field. And whether other people walked by and missed it, or that this treasure only meant something to him, it didn't matter. It was exceptional. He quickly sold everything he had just to own that treasure and the field it was in. As you think about the parables Jesus has told so far, parable of the sower, the parable of the master of the wheat who had weeds sown on top of it. And there were a couple other parables we skipped over, but they follow along the same theme. The central figure always is God in those parables, Jesus in particular. And the case is the same here. Although, interesting enough, all right, fun nerd fact, just go with me for a second. In researching like the stuff for this message, like almost unanimously, everybody translates this passage as like, this is how you should be as a disciple. This, you should sell everything, give up everything you have to own the kingdom of God. And in doing that, we completely miss the point. The gospel has never been about what you give up for God, right? It's always about what Jesus gives up for you. Jesus gives up everything for you. And that's the sacrifice. And this is something that comes home to us in a very special and real and particular way in baptism, right? In baptism, Jesus takes you and joins you, brings you into his death, so you die in baptism, and his resurrection. You're raised back to life, which is why we talk about celebrating this new life we have in Jesus. That's how God gives it to you, through baptism and the death and life of Jesus. But that's not all that happens. You're not just brought in to Jesus' life. Jesus comes in to yours. So when he promises that he treasures you, when he is with you, that is a real and profound promise. You think about all the spots where Jesus is with you, it's a little bit awkward that he's with you. I used to think about, like, when I was a kid, I used to think, like, when I sinned, God just wasn't there, and then he came back when I was done sinning. Right? Sometimes I still think that, if I'm honest, because I don't want to admit or come to terms with the things that I've done in the presence of God. And yet, God treasures you. Despite your sin, despite the things we do that separate us from him, God treasures you. And so you have both the one that joins you to himself and joins you in your life moment by moment. And as you follow Jesus, seeing all that he's done, as you come to terms with everything that he's done for you, it's staggering and you want to respond, right? So when you think about Jesus' sacrifice, you want to sacrifice, right? You want to do the same thing as the master. You want to follow along what Jesus has done for you. But if Jesus has sacrificed everything already, what do you sacrifice? What do I sacrifice? What can we sacrifice? Just this. The belief in the lie. We sacrifice the belief in the lie that anything else is enough or more or better than Jesus. God is calling you to let go of those things that have that treasure that's in your heart that has come to mean more to you than Christ. So what can you sacrifice? Those things that tempt you, that draw your gaze away from Jesus. In Hebrews 12, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, casting aside the shame of the cross to make you his own. It's a Troxel paraphrase. But the meaning is the same. Jesus cast it all aside for you. So fix your eyes and your heart on the one that sacrifices everything in one moment just for you, in this moment. Because when we see these momentary promises of God, they're not momentary in the sense of like they're going to last for a second and then they're done. But they are momentary promises in that in each moment, God is delivering promises to you, right? And God has been faithful through them all. The past reminds you that there have been other moments where God has made promises and he's kept them. And so when God keeps his promises, when you look back in that history, and sometimes it's hard to see where God shows up. When you pray to God and the answer he gives you is a no, and that no actually seems like God doesn't hear your prayers, it's hard to believe. But God is calling you to let go of that lie, to sacrifice that and believe what he has done in the past, what he's doing in the present, so that when he makes promises to you about the future, you believe. And you're not the only one he's saying this to. These momentary promises indicate to us that this moment is not all that there is. The past reminds, I just said that. God is faithful in this moment. He will be faithful in all the moments to come. And you need to know this because the future moments will not all be easy or good. Jesus knows this. Jesus knows what's about to happen in chapter 14 when we eventually get there, right? Jesus knows what's going to happen in chapter 14, at the beginning of chapter 14, where John the Baptist, his second cousin, twice removed, however that works, he dies. And Jesus is going to face opposition in his hometown. The way forward with Jesus is not easy or good. But he is. He is good. He treasures you. He treasures those disciples. And because he treasures his disciples, he treasures you, he makes known to you what's going to happen ahead of time, right? He tells us, you will face all kinds of things because of me. But what does he say? I will be with you. This is what he says when he leaves the disciples at the end of Matthew, right? These very last words, I will be with you until the very end of the age, the end of time. That's how long Jesus will be with you. Jesus illustrates to the disciples and to you that he's the one searching for you. He's the one overjoyed for you. He's the one who gives everything up for you. And these lasting choices make an impact on how we live in this moment. Jesus reassures his disciples because he knows what's ahead, because he knows their hearts, he knows what they need now, and he knows what they need in all the moments to come. And so he asks them, right? I love this. Verse 51, he says, have you understood all these things? And they say, yes. And Jesus doesn't question them on it, right? If I was Jesus, I'm like, all right, say it back to me. What's all this mean, right? If you were really listening, right? But he doesn't. He says, therefore, this is like a scribe who has been trained in the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? A missionary. And not just the missionary that goes overseas and establishes, like gets to know the culture and the language and makes those connections and does what we think would be impossible. The missionary, the scribe, trained in the kingdom of heaven, it's the person that's going back to their house today, or going out to eat after a gathering today, or is coming by tomorrow to pick up a flyer for A2 Barbecue. The missionary is you. You are the witnesses of God here and now, gathered in this place to be built up in him, but we don't live here, right? We're sent out. We live out there. And that is where God calls you to be his witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. But it all starts right where you live, right where you work. Jesus sees to it that you hear this today because he treasures you. God treasures you, all your precious moments, and all your shattered dreams. The beautiful life you're building and living, and your broken heart. So whether you're coming in today in a moment where you are riding high, you've got a bigger bedroom, maybe, or you're coming in at a low point today, maybe you're at one of your lowest, you need to know, high or low or anywhere in between, moment to moment, God treasures you. So say that with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. God treasures you. Even though you doubt,
God treasures you.
Even though you've lost hope,
God treasures you.
Come on, Emmaus. Through your sin and struggle, doubt and defeat,
God treasures you.
There we are. Through the days ahead, both difficult and delightful, there is a day coming when all things will be set right, even better than they ever were. And the one that treasures you is the one that promises to you that that will be so. So between now and then, let us believe in the promises of Jesus for this moment and the last moment. And may that faith, maybe God work through that faith to fill you with hope for all the moments in between. By the grace of Jesus, God treasures you. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this love, this word, this hope, this treasure you are giving us. And yet, Lord, in this story, in these parables, you reveal that you are the one in search of treasure, and somehow we are your treasure. We are the ones you seek with all your heart. We are the ones you gave all things up for just to be with us and to bring us in. Not as a possession of something you control and commandeer, but as a possession that is dearly loved, highly favored, sought after, cared for. Lord, we are your treasured possession. Help us to treasure the kingdom the way you treasure us. Help us to seek after you, to sacrifice the lies we so willingly want to believe and to live in this new life you've given us. Lord, work through us to bring that life to others. We pray this in your name. Amen.